Blog Talk Radio.
How many times do I have to tell this thing? If I wanted to go by controversy, I think I would go along the lines of, well, this guy. What up, Giblets? It's the one, the only, Brian Rails, and I decided to start off this schlemiel with basically an introduction. It deserves no other, because why? Every single week that I come on here, I ramble. But I ended up getting back to the center core of what I am talking about. So tonight, let's start off the show by discussing SmackDown Live. Now, I was discussing with a friend of mine. He's one chill dude. He lives back in Kansas City. But I was discussing with this awesome guy, why WWE put Carmella in the position that she's in. And I got to thinking, this can tie in with last week's discussion of how crowds react and why. There are those who have the IQ of 12, who get all flustered because certain somebody wins and why things are done a certain way. Then there are those who are the edumacated wrestling fans who believe that they are 100% always right. And I bumped into one of those in St. Louis, and I, have bumped into one or two or three at an NWL showing, and I can tell you, we all have opinions. We also all have assholes. So, like assholes, everyone's got one. Everyone has an opinion, including myself. So does that make me an asshole? I guess you could say it does. As I said before, I can get off track, and here's the thing. When Carmella won the Money in the Bank briefcase, you see the reaction of the crowd. You see what it got for all of WWE Universe, right? It made them cringe. It made them hate Carmella. She has done her job if she has gotten that much of a reaction from all of you. Okay? If the crowd isn't reacting for her, then what the hell do you do next? Do you send her off, ship her off to China because she didn't get the proper reaction? Sometimes it happens for certain WWE superstars. And why am I not discussing the Usos versus, the Hype Bros? I'm sorry. Zack Ryder is very talented. Mojo Rawley, on the other hand, again, why are they in the position that they're in? It's because they worked hard. The kids like the Hype Bros. Obviously Mojo Rawley's over with the kiddies and this, that, the other. So, why didn't somebody else win? That was the main discussion that I was having with my friend. I can tell you right now that the reason why Natalia Vorfest, she's a great, she's a great wrestler, but some people say, this person on Instagram who just said that she was a Vorfest, could you do what she does, night in, night out, give wisdom and advice to all the other superstars? Also, Tamina, I don't think she's in a position to win, although a lot of people are saying, oh, the WWE slept on Tamina, just like they slept over Nia. Again, I don't review Raw on my show, but I do kind of touch base with what I thought of Monday Night Raw. And I have to say, out of everything that has been overlapped in the last 2 days, oh my God, WWE is making a small comeback rating-wise. Is it still the lowest rating? I couldn't tell you because the demographics are as follows. They haven't gotten over 4 million viewers in quite some time. And, well, Monday Night Raw, comparatively speaking to WWE SmackDown, reactionary-wise, the reaction and pop that Carmella got compared to when Sasha Banks went over Nia Jax is about relatively the same. The reaction and pop that when the Hardys and Finn Balor went over Matt Hardy, or, you know, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Finn Balor went over Sheamus, Cesaro, and Elias Samson, I can tell you right now, I think a lot of people misunderstand what this business is about. It's not just about one thing or the other. It's about a lot of compilations, you know, that compilations that come into how people react, and that is, can this guy or gal get over? You know, the Hardy Boys, they just returned, and they're already getting so much reactions, and not just in WWE. I mean, look around you. Cody Rhodes, Keith Lee, Matthew Riddle, all are getting reactions. Now, did they choose to be put in the position that they were in? It's just, is the crowd responding? I believe that's what some creatives go after is, okay, we did this and the crowd really, really sought after it. Like Braun Strowman, I guarantee you, when people saw him again coming in, you know, out of that ambulance, knocking the shit out of Roman Reigns, I guarantee fucking to you, it got a reaction, did it not? Now, whether you like Roman Reigns or not, without him, yeah, you could have great elements and you could call up more people like Aleister Black from NXT, or you could call up Sanity. But see, it's not up to us. See, if we're playing fantasy wrestlers, like what I like to call it, because a lot of people, and I say that phrase a lot of people, well, Nikki Cross should win against Asuka, or I think Peyton Royce and Billie Kay should go here. Again, you know, that's fun. It's fun being a fan, and it's fun discussing stuff. So you got to understand something. Whenever people say, I'd like to turn on the tube and see this on the TV, they're not going to want to see a Natalya or Tamina or, hell, even Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch would have been great. You know, she would have gotten the reaction from the crowd. Your stereotypical baby face. Oh, yes, yeah, she overcame all odds kind of thing. It's expected if Becky wins, but it's more or less people were hoping, they were hoping that Carmella's ass would not win this match. And why? Because, oh, she's a terrible wrestler. Oh, you know, she's this, that, the other. Tough nuts. She won without Ellsworth. Ellsworth, all he did was come in and interfere once again, but he did not help her win this time. You understand? Because now the ramifications are, how well does she tie in with the Naomi, you know, look? Because obviously Lana's not getting the job done. She was one, you know, disappointment, which some people are asking me, why am I covering women's wrestling? Because the male side of it is very simple. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. You could have seen this a mile away. Also, guys, if you're saying that you couldn't see it a mile away, come on now. AJ Styles and Kevin Owens on the same roster, and also Sami Zayn. I'm going to say this. Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin, I feel that, you know, Sami Zayn reminds me a little bit of Shawn Michaels because he's a small guy. He's rough and tough. He's the underdog most of the time. I feel like he's getting undermined, but that's just me. You know, I feel like he should have won that ladder match at WrestleMania 32, but, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. It's who they feel that the crowd will get used to. And sometimes it's a mistake, and sometimes it's not, guys. What I mean by that is it's a fate of chance. If guy walks into a casino and says, I'm going to, you know, go to the blackjack table and I'm going to come out a thousandaire, some of it's probability. You want to play your cards right because you don't want to use all of your strong suits for, you know, before WrestleMania. So all of this is tying into it perfectly. Now, whether people see it my way or the highway or they see it their way or the highway, I really don't give a fuck. Because why? You look at Carmella's win. How many shocking victories has she had since she's been here? She's been tied to Enzo and Cass. Now she's tied to Ellsworth. No one really took her seriously. So look at the trend. Jinder Mahal. He is the WWE champion. Universal champion, unfortunately, is Brock Lesnar. But are you guys really going to be hopeful that Joe wins? I mean, I know I am. I'm not going to lie. It's one of those things that just comes up and you say, all right, here comes Lesnar. And some of you blindly cheer for that man because you like the chance suplex city, and that's fine. Because Lesnar, all he knows how to do is German suplex you 10 times, and it's like having a neuralizer in front of somebody. They forgot that Benoit used to latch on to people and do that. Anyways, the trend in WWE and anywhere right now has changed. Hey, look at Keith Lee. Did anyone think that he would be a number one contender for Matthew Riddle's spot? And some of you are saying, yes, 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 exclamation point, on B-Train 05000. Here, you know, here's what I say. Keith Lee is an amazing athlete for a big guy. You take a look at his matches, like, okay, versus Chris Hero. The dude hits hard. And not just dude hits hard. Big boy can fly. Like Darby Allin fly. Not into a barricade or not into a retaining wall or whatever Darby Allin flies into, but I just want to say this. Whenever you go to a wrestling match, what are you looking for? Are you looking for blood and gore, you know, like CZW? Or are you looking for stereotype wrestling where good guy meets bad guy? I mean, just listen to what I'm saying. All you have to do is take a good gander in all of wrestling fandom, and you see the demographics and where they lay. Now, whether you're a purist, as some of you like to claim, and you like to say, well, I'm not a WWE fan, but I cheer for the indies. Does that make you a purist? I'm reading through your question. Give it time. So you're asking me why I think there's a trend? Because in wrestling, okay, look, Cody Rhodes has, you know, a wrestling career outside of WWE. And will he come back? Sure. Give it time. If they're not going to execute his character and just not utilize him at all, then I would say it's all up to Cody. It's not up to us. If they're requesting him back, you know, he is most sought out guy right now to come back to WWE, aside from, you know, Chris Hero, who, or Cassius Ohno. He'll probably correct me later on if he's ever on our show. But no, I mean, you look at this trend that wrestling did. The product has to be better. The product has to be better is what you're selling me. Are you kidding me? I think that it's fine where it's at right now. Jermaine, I really do. I mean, you're trying to say that wrestling as a whole, the episode I spoke of yesterday, I mean, look, look at what they're doing. You look at the bigger picture. You look at what Hayes and Noble and Armstrong and all of them in the back are capable of. They're not going to give away all their secrets. They're not going to tell you what they're going to do, but they are the coach, and the wrestlers are like the players. They got your halfbacks, your running backs, your tailback, you know, wide receivers, the whole nine, the offensive line. So you got to move. It's also like a game of chess. Carmella is a strong piece if you think about it. Why? Because that seems to be the main focal point of discussion. And also, if you look at it, folks, the demographics, the ratings, the fandom, it's all spread out. Now, comparatively speaking to the UFC, okay, Conor McGregor is the only interesting thing that they have. And pretty sure that they have a few other guys there that I'm not aware of, but I'm not a UFC guy. I will admit that. I'm talking about wrestling, so you kind of... Is your name really Elvin? That's awesome, dude. Okay. So, it's up in the air. I'm not going to tell you who the two Bullet Club members are. That's hilarious. You know, you're asking me on my show. That's kind of a foregone conclusion. So, I will say this, though. Yeah, here's the thing. Wrestling is taking on a hold of me because people actually want to go out there and do something with themselves and make something, make a career out of it. This isn't just predominated by men anymore. This is, both men and women can get involved. So your question is, okay, thank you. What do I think of WWE in general versus a Ring of Honor, New Japan, and Evolve, and the Monster Factory and all them and all the other independent circuits? I think it's not a bad thing to have competition. I don't know why certain promoters get kind of edgy about that, but you know what? Competition is a real thing. It is not going to be absent from what you guys see on TV. And also, it's not going to be absent from your local competitions. Like, for example, if you acknowledge the competition, you're automatically a douche canoe. If you don't acknowledge them, then you're still labeled as one big douche canoe. I'm talking about it can be local, like Chaos Wrestling versus Monster Factory, or Monster Factory versus Wildcat Sports Wrestling. They have credible names in there, right? So, I mean, you're asking me, and you have Okada, Omega, you have different people. I cannot pronounce their names for New Japan, but I'm trying. I mean, I can get a stat sheet and just read off of that, but that would be disrespectful because I, would like to get to know these people. Then you have Matthew Riddle, Ethan Page, Ty Cobb, Sammy Callahan, Jessica Havoc, Jake the Mansco. I'm listing, different names from different organizations. You have Joey Janela. You got different people. Like, CZW is kind of like the glorified version of ECW. It's not a terrible organization. It's obviously out in Philly. So you're asking me how WWE fares against these organizations? There's going to be a lot of split answers here. And I'm going to tell you, wrestling is universal. So if you treat it as a competition, then it will be. Hang on. So, as I took time to pause, ladies and gents, here's what I have to say to you. Wrestling is always going to be competitive. People always debate it. but it's all dependent upon, you know, if you have a good time or not. And I think that's the main thing. So, you have to understand. You have to understand. Yes, I agree. Bayley does not deserve a title shot. Whoever said that, thank you. Simply because it's not that she... Okay, let me rephrase that since I'm going to have a lot of people complain. She's not aggressive enough is what some people are saying, and let me explain that to you. When you're, you know, getting bullied, and you want to fight back, but yet there's something in you that's non-confrontational. There's not a confrontational bone in your body. Bayley is one of those people that I believe personally could do better if she would just let out all that anger, all that aggression, man. If you're angry at someone, fucking yell at them. Tell them what for. Just not at work, because that won't work, okay? I use the word work more than one time. And no, here's another thing. I'm going to discuss this on the next show. Is it a work or is it just, you know, to get us fans going? God, you know those people. Some of you really annoy the fuck out of me with that shit. Oh, it's a work. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'll use terminology, this terminology, that terminology. You know, Mark and I had a conversation, Triple H once said, on an episode of Monday Night Raw. And it was a pretty deep conversation, but, you know, Mark didn't get what he wanted and he cried like a little girl. That is in regards to the fans who think that I'm just one big dumbass on here rambling. Let me tell you something. Until you've stepped foot in the ring, until you have traversed, you know, different territories, I haven't traversed them all, but I've been pretty much around. I've seen Puerto Rico. I've been through Ohio. I've been through Iowa, New York. I've been through Florida. And not just WWE, folks. These are Wrestling Revolver shows. And it's pretty, pretty entertaining to, you know, see people say, well, you just talk about different shit and it just rambles. And I do ramble. But you know what? I told you I get back to the center of the discussion. And it was a SmackDown recap, so okay. Shinsuke Nakamura was observing what Baron Corbin did. And here's my opinion on Baron Corbin. The man is getting better. He's not totally terrible. He's just exhausting to watch. Because it's like literally, you know, a watered-down Kevin Nash / Dean Ambrose. He has no originality. He's bland as all fuck. If you wanted my true opinion of him, I'm sick and tired of, well, he's from Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City. I don't give two flying fucks where the man's from. If he can entertain, great. If he got a reaction from the crowd, even though I don't like him and certain others don't like him, guess what? He got a reaction. And that's what Carmella did. That's what Sasha got. That's what Jinder got. They got reaction from the crowd. They got a pop, if you will. That's the technical term for it, for you terminologists out there. Jesus flipping Christ. I got to say this. So, let me ask you this question. If you had a choice in picking Carmella and Tamina, because this is what you just told me, Tamina is and will always be a dominating force. Therefore, she deserves to be, as I'm reading this right now, she deserves to be ahead of Carmella. Man, okay, guys, we don't choose. Creative has the pen, pad, and paper, or the computer, if you will. We don't. So, again, it's one of those things. Matt, look, you guys are basically stating stuff that I kind of know, and that I know why the crowd did this, because of reactionary purposes, correct. They did this because, not just for the cheap pops and the stereotypical heel pop, no, I mean, look, it's going to happen. I'm getting questions right and left because, obviously, oh, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to focus on this simply because, look, yeah, I'm reading your questions. I just, well, oh my God, you guys. Okay. No, this is okay. For all of you sending death threats to Carmella, stop doing so. That's not right. I mean, I'm pretty sure she got a good laugh out of it, but no. Because you'll go to court and then you'll get in jail, and congratulations. You just outed yourself, and I'm most likely probably not going to screenshot it and be a little snitch, but it is kind of funny that you guys seem to think that you're untouchable on social media. Like, can any of you explain? Like, seriously. I honestly, no, guys. Okay, I'm moving forward because I'm going to go the whole hour and discuss with you all a little snippet about pro wrestling as a hobby. You know, do you treat it as a hobby or do you treat it as a career? Because, honestly, guys, treat this very seriously. And if you don't, then that's on you, because that's your choice as a career person. I would like to point out that it's now time for the advertisements. Hey, so, if you would like to sign up for Monster Factory Super Camp, you can do so at monsterfactory.org. That's monsterfactory.org. Danny has already signed up, so check it out. If you're too late, you can still sign up, though, for his school. You can do so at www.monsterfactory.org. His phone number is right on the website. Contact him via text message or phone call. If you are committing or not committing, that's all up to you. It is $2,000 for experienced workers with a year or two of experience. If it needs fine-tuning, folks, it's all the more reason you should sign up for Danny's school. It is $2,005 with a $500 down payment. It is $3,000. With a $500 payment, $2,000 up front for the lifetime membership, $500 down for the payment, so it is still $2,500. For those of you interested in any of Danny's super camps, I suggest you sign up for these. These are going fast. So therefore, you know, if you have any interest at all, you should definitely think about doing so, okay, folks? I believe the next advertisement is going to sound something like this. If you wish to sign up for anything Evolve Wrestling, you know, or anything, go to FlowSlam.com. You can definitely catch the awesomeness that has evolved, you know, guys like Ethan Page, Ty Cobb. Or Matthew Riddle, the WWN champion, who will defend his title against Keith Lee. But I can keep you posted on that because that's kind of interesting. Actually, it's hella interesting. So, shout out to the Bro Crew. Now, before, there was the Hype Bros. Anyways, moving forward, for those of you who wish to sign up for WWE Network, you can do so by going to WWE.com, go on to Network, sign in with an email and a valid password. For those of you who have the preloaded cards, you can get them, not refilled, but you can get more, and it goes for 3 months, so you get your first month free, so it's 4 months total. You can catch the pay-per-views like Great Balls of Fire and Battleground completely free. If, in fact, you find it interesting to go further than that and sign up with a debit or credit card, that is all up to you, the fan. Ah, yeesh. Enough of my rambling, so, yep, that's how you sign up for WWE Network. You can go to your local 7-Elevens. You can also go get them at GameStop. You can also get them at your local Best Buys. So, folks, that's a segue into the bulk of what I will be discussing with you all. Here goes. Enjoy, well, not quite yet, but enjoy 9, 8, 5, 3, 2, 1, blast off for craziness. Okay, so folks, this next 8 minutes and counting, I'll be discussing with you, I believe, most people tend to think pro wrestling is a hobby, or do they treat it as an actual career? You can tell by some of the people or individuals that are in this because they know that they have a backup option if they had an education or they went through college or whatever. Some people play it smart and they just stay in the indies or they go straight to WWE. Some are afraid to take the leap. So what all in all I'll be discussing with you guys tonight, live from Brooklyn, is pro wrestling as a hobby, pro wrestling as a career. Now as a career, you can get injured. You probably won't wrestle again. There's a risk that fans won't be into you. They say, oh, you're passing in. There's this new guy. There's always going to be that risk. So for those the individuals that I've seen treat it as if it were a hobby, how I'm going to respond to that is you either are or you're not into this thing we call pro wrestling. You're either with it or you're just doing it because you want to have, you know, your friends take pictures for you on Facebook. And that's fine. That's all fine and dandy. But, I'll give you an example to make this sound better. For those people who watch certain wrestlers and treat it like a hobby, I'm going to tell you right now, it's one of those things where I treat this podcast, podcasting deal, like as if it were a career. Why? Because I eventually want to do this from my own comfort in my own home and not have to do a regular 24-hour job. or, you know, 9-to-5 job, as most say. But how do you get there? How do you get to the point where you make wrestling your career, where you're not having to rely solely on making T-shirts from pro wrestling tees, you know, or having to rely on a certain individual and having to pay them a certain percentage? It's called, some guys get lucky. No, it's called putting yourself out there and making sure that you are promoting yourself as is. And I say this nicely. If you're just in it for a hobby, then you got, you know, like Uncle Bob says, you have to respect the process and that individual's mind. Otherwise, guys will look at you like you're the jackass. Well, I guess it's too late for me. But the point is, folks, pro wrestling as a career. Now, let's look up the definition of career, shall we? Because I'm curious as to what the dictionary has to say on Google. Career. Handy this phone is, I'm telling you. Okay, so by definition, an occupation undertaken for a significant period of a person's life and with opportunities for progress. It also, you know, defined as a verb, can mean move swiftly in an uncontrolled way in a specified direction. Well, that means in an action. But that's what career is defined as. So, you know, it's an occupation that is undertaken for a significant period of a person's life and with opportunities for progress. So, profession, occupation, job, you know, vocation, calling, whatever you want to say. So now let's look up the word hobby and see what it has to say about that. So a hobby is an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure. So this is kind of like a double-edged sword if you think about it, because what this definition is saying is that it is an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure. So do some guys or gals like to wrestle for fun? I mean, that's a good question. You know, it all depends on, I guess, the person's perception of what they're really wanting to do. So do you want to be a wrestler? Do you want to be a manager? Do you want to be a referee? You know, there's certain people that misconstrue wrestlers. Oh, you know, you can just do this the entire time. If they get injured, some companies do not pay insurance, and some do. Some cover their employees. So it all depends on the individual, guys. So if he or she would like to become a professional wrestler, how does one start that? They truly want to do it. They go through wrestling school. Then some of them figure out that wrestling school is not for them. So they end up quitting for a bit, and then they come back, and then they quit. Then they come back, they quit. It's a vicious cycle. I've seen it happen because when I used to train as a manager, or lack thereof, I am not ashamed of saying the following. Whenever you train to do something, it's not a hobby. It should be a passion. There's a difference between passion and also, you know, I guess procrastinating as well as, you know, a word that can fit into this mess. Procrastination is when you say you're going to do a task or do something and you never fucking follow through. So falls into it. As far as, are you going to be, you know, a promoter? Are you going to be a wrestler? Is this something you just do so that the family and friends can come? Family and friends count as a crowd, yo. But if you're just doing this because it's something that you want to show off and you're, you know, you're proud of what you know, that's great. I'm not saying that's the problem, but I was in a group of people who treated this as if it were a hobby. If it's a true fucking passion, you're out there making T-shirts, you're out there going, doing the drives, and that's great. You know, you're videoing yourself, you're doing what you're supposed to. It's more than just doing the drive. You're putting your name through a promoter. Hey, do you need me here? Hey, what do you need me to do? It's all about also being a servant. If you're not a servant to this business, then you're defeating the purpose. Now, honestly, I think that this is just a hobby and you're just doing this for extra money. You know, I need some extra $100 in my bank account. Get the hell out. Get the fuck out. That's just my opinion. If you don't love it enough to where you feel like you're almost married to wrestling, why are you in the business? Some guys may think, you know, they just have that lackadaisical attitude and they perform like one of the best performers, and that's them. But for me, you know, I observe some of these guys that I have seen, and most of them, if not all, from New Breed, they are putting effort into selling T-shirts and into making themselves better. So the best thing I can tell you is don't act snarky either. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. That being the promoter and the people that love you, okay? So, wrestling is a hobby. You know, that's something, it's not just something you do in your leisure time. Some people it is. It's just amazing to me how they, you know, how quickly people can overlook the facts that when you become a wrestler, become a manager, referee, or bellkeeper, whatever, this is not a hobby, to me at least, and to others who treat this seriously. People have, some people, not all, go through their entire wrestling career and they say, damn, that's good. I did what I was supposed to, and I did what I wanted to do, blah, blah, blah. So, in other words, understand the meaning of being a servant of to this business. It takes whatever interpretation you want to give it, but also be able to read people. Not mind read, read people. Be aware, not everyone is going to appreciate your talents. And for those of you who are delusional in this business, oh, some guys like to think that they are a pay grade above everyone else. And I got a newsflash for you, folks. If you think you're a pay grade above what everyone is in the business, and you toss your nose up to them and you say, you know, this is, I did this and I did that. I've done this a couple times, but to a group of people I did it to, I think I was justified. That's what some people say. You give your credentials. Some people don't care. Some people just pass it off. And, well, some people are just doing this business and think that they're the shit. And it's amazing to me. Because you give out ideas, you say, I think I should be doing this, but, you know, only tenured veterans. Do they do that? I don't even think they do that because they know what works and what doesn't. Like, okay, for example, Tommy Dreamer. Do you think that he told Paul Heyman, I think I'd be good with this, you know, but I'm not so good with that? That's your basic tenured veteran response when he's saying, I think the match should flow this way. We should do this because we're extreme. That's what comes out of his mouth. So, you know, as I took the pause, I believe not just Tommy Dreamer, but other guys like Raven, other guys like Balls Mahoney, God rest your soul, did they ever go to a promoter and say, I'm this? No. For those of you treated like a hobby, get the fuck out the door and let please, please let the door hit you on the ass on the way out, because you're taking away from the business. How? You're doing it as a hobby. You're getting extra money. So what if it's your preference? I don't care. So the guy doesn't have anybody else to fill because you do this, and you're saying, I want to wrestle. Speaking of which, not too long ago in a promotion far, far away, I saw something. It really bugged the fuck out of me. A guy that goes through the motions and just says, well, I work as a paramedic or whatever medical position that this guy has. You're telling me that you've been wrestling for 18 fucking years and you can't slow down and be methodical, or not just be methodical, but slow the pace down to where you actually take the bumps properly and also do the moves properly and also administer the moves properly, like a basic hammer lock, basic wrist lock, a headlock switch. The guy hit my friend in the ears and popped him pretty good. Do you think that my friend wants to wrestle that asshole? No, because the guy treats it like a fucking hobby. So by all means, when you're in the wrestling ring, this is not a chess match. This is not a checkers match at Central Park. This is pro wrestling, not for the faint at heart. Not everybody can lift weights and look great. Now, look like you've never worked a day out in your life in the gym. So that's also a pet peeve of mine. Also, not all of wrestling is sunshine and daisies. You expect people to baby you. This is not middle school basketball. This is not badminton. This is sure as hell not tennis. And here's the thing, folks. When you sit down to watch a wrestling match in the Indies, you see all kinds of guys trying to do stuff that they think will catch on with the crowd. All the crowd knows is that two guys or two girls beating each other up. Some indie crowds are dumber than dirt. And trust me, I've been through some. I was a part of one. Does that make my IQ level drop a couple points? Probably. But they're nice folk, don't get me wrong. So, in essence, this is what happens. For those of you who treat it like a hobby, my question to you is, why do you even lace up? Why do you even go out and make yourself well aware? Because you're not, you're selling t-shirts. Oh, this is cool. I can sell t-shirts. To those of you who are actually extremely passionate about this thing we call pro wrestling, my hats are off to you, because you're not manufactured. You're not trying too hard to do something. You're actually putting effort into your craft and making yourself better. So, yes, Cody Wilson. Yes, Kurt Gannon. Kyle Roberts. Every single one person from New Breed Wrestling. Thank you. I don't have anything ill will against you guys, because I like to stay out of shit. I really do. And if my mouth gets me in trouble, my apologies, guys. But at the same token, for those of you, not just in New Breed, and NWL as well, Dak Draper, Marty Bell, Amber Lynn, the Howlets, all the guys from NWL Kansas City, and, well, NWL St. Louis Anarchy, you guys are the reason why I go to see a show. It's because I want to see entertainment. Okay, yeah, I can turn on the E. But if I want to see local wrestling, I can also go to Factory Friday
I can also go to Chaos Wrestling for Donovan Dijak. So that, I mean, you know, in itself, it's a victory in itself, because you see what kind of effort goes into a wrestling show. You see the effort that people put on, you know, and it's one of those things that you just have to watch. And also, it's a personality trait too. It's a work ethic. If you're lazy and you just I'm going to do this for fun. Like, some people pick up singing like it's nothing, and they don't go to American Idol, or they don't go to America's Got Talent, and they've got the most beautiful voice. I know some people like that, because it's so mind-boggling to me. And some ask why I get stressed over, is wrestling a hobby, or, you know, versus it being an actual, you know, career choice. Well, I find it annoying, because there's always going to be that group of people that say, I can't believe you are so negative about this group of people, that group of people, this group. I don't care. Which segues into the next bit of discussion. The future of Honor Match, Jay Savage versus Mr. Hamlin from Detroit, Michigan. If you didn't like what you saw, then you're not alone. If you did like what you saw, then your eyeballs need to be plucked out, put back in again, and hopefully your brain works just fine. This is not just a regular rambling shoot by me. I mean, rambling as in I eventually get to the center of discussion of what I'm discussing. So, what the fuck? Who... I can answer that question. When you run ropes and you don't critique said person, not just on running ropes, but learning basic holds, not just hammer locks, wrist locks, arm wrench and all this stuff, headlock takeover, side headlock, hip toss, arm drag, if you look completely god awful while doing so, then you really are falling into that category of, you are doing this, you are doing pro wrestling as a hobby. If you guys are just doing this for the contract, boy, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna say what Kevin Nash said. If you think I did this for the money, you're probably right. Now, retract a few statements of mine. Yes, I would like to be in WWE, because anyone in their right mind, but that's not the ultimate goal. When I watched Future of Honor Match, I thought to myself, well, if I was a creative control and I saw exactly what I saw, it would make me cry and question, you know, what is the meaning of life? Because the lockup, okay, cool, you know, not everybody goes for lockup, whatever. That's not what I focus on, guys. It's the tempo of the match and how long it is. What I focus on is, okay, who wants it more? I ain't a promoter, but as a fan, I mean, who stood out in that match the most? Who was just not cookie cutter and not thinking too much? Has that happened to every guy when they first do stuff? You ask Sammy Callahan, you ask Colt Cabana, when they were in WWE for a brief stint, and then when they got out and did other wrestling indie promotions, I can explain to you right now that, yes, when you very first starting out and you go out and venture out to other promotions, people are going to eat you up like a bunch of people, homeless people standing in a line waiting for food. They'll either eat you up and spit you back out, or eat you up and digest you and actually fucking love you. Jay Savage, you know, it's funny. You don't take suplexes, but you give them. Is that preference up to me? Well, no. But if you're not comfortable with doing something, as simple as a suplex and then some, then why, you know, even as some, as basic as a German suplex. Now, here's the thought for you. When you bring up a conversation from my past, it's going to sound something like this. I'll explain to you in detail what happened with this group of people and why they keep getting brought up. One, as negative as I am, I do have reason behind it. And it's kind of, no, it is the ultimate truth, because when you watch his match all the way through, not just the running of the ropes, but what is the purpose of being on the outside of the ring and just taking the guy's legs from under him and bumping him, not even doing something remotely cool, like, I don't know, bring him down, getting into a fist fight on the outside. Why not clothesline him over the railing, because you're not well favored? But here's the fun fact for you. Whenever you watch this match, wear goggles, bring a Home Depot bucket. Don't, and I repeat, don't look too much into it. So here's what I got to tell you. Future of Honor, I believe, it doesn't have a reservation sign on it that says good wrestlers only. But if you're going to wrestle, please treat it like an actual meaningful sport, because we already get the bad rap that wrestling is fake, wrestling is not real, it's just something for the kids. I mean, it is. If you're not doing it for the kids, why else do it? So that's what really boggles my mind, is how in the bluest of all hells did Jay Savage get booked? I know Cheeseburger probably got hell for it, but you know something? Can't blame the man. He's just following orders. Book the man because he helped. My apologies, but I know if Cheeseburger had the opportunity to go back in time, he probably wouldn't fucking do it. Now, granted, he had to have somebody to fight Hamlin. I've named someone better, probably. Am I being biased for this suggestion? Maybe a Kurt Gannon, perhaps? Because the enigmatic suplex cyclone, the mayor of the city of destruction. I could go on and on, folks. The man can actually work. He's worked in 3XW, okay, NWL, New Breed. He was Wrestler of the Year there. Does that carry on into a good resume? I think so. The 30 remaining minutes are going to sound something like this. Watch the match all the way through. You type in Future of Honor 2017. Look under Jay Savage versus Miss, you know, Hamlin. The guy kind of looks, I guess you could classify it as Glacier, the way his mask was, but the way this guy is, he's very unorthodox. He definitely piques fans' interest of what he did to Savage afterwards. I mean, literally, he licked Jay Savage's forehead, and it was kind of disgusting, but also intriguing at the same time. So, folks, as loud and obnoxious as I can be, there's a reason for that. And it's simply this. If I have reason to hate someone, I don't hate Jay Savage, I just dislike him. maybe psychotic to be calling out just one person. Hamlin, is there anything negative to say about him? Is that what you're asking me? Seriously? Fucking for real? Yeah. Okay. In my native New Yorker tongue, get the fuck out of here with that mess. With that shit. Sorry. Speed trainer. Off the rails, uncensored. So therefore, anything goes, any language goes. So I gotta tell you, for those of you who listen to our show on Wrestle Radio, I speak my mind for a reason. And this reason is like this. If there were anybody that I couldn't speak my mind on, it'd be someone like, oh, I don't know. Guys, or people, I should say, that are actually making a good name for themselves, and you're referring to Nakamura as a sellout because he went to the... So... So here's the deal. As I'm reading this, I gotta say this. I'm not just a terrible ranter. No, I have valid points. The Jay Savage versus, you know, Hamlin from Detroit. Absolutely insanely bad. It was 6 minutes and 46 seconds. And not just the length. The length is not the problem, folks. The problem... The problem is when you have an unskilled wrestler or worker go in the ring and they stink up the joint. Fans don't even know who Jay Savage is. They just, you know, cheer yay because they have to. So it was more or less a wrongful science experiment. Let's book him because he helped on the prior show, so we're going to book him again. Why? No, the wrong thing keeps going because what is the point of booking someone if they helped? Yeah, but shouldn't you try his ass out in the ring, you know, and let him work? Instead of just sending him to the lion's den and just say, oh, here, we're going to let you go out the curtain, and you got this guy. They've never worked together, and yeah, that's the common thread. That's the common trend in professional wrestling sometimes. Here, have this match. We'll see if it works, and we'll go from there. And it just boggles my mind. So, I mean, it all depends. Like, what was so bad? What was so bad? Okay. It just... Ay, man, you're about to make my brain hurt. What was so bad about it? I'll tell you, from the very beginning of the match when he walked up to the very end, you know, when the pinfall occurred. Now, as I said, if you want to watch this match, Jay Savage versus Hamlin, Future of Honor,
you can do so and enjoy yourself. You masturbate. It's a form of stress reliever, so go fuck yourself. That's all I'm going to say. As many F-bombs as I just dropped there because this fan wants to play games with me, here it is. Methodically, I can tell people, you know, in a methodic way, you can watch a bad pro wrestling match 9 times out of 10 and see the good in it somehow. This match, you watch it 9 times out of 10, you're going to find the fucking negative, which is lockup, doing arm wrench, you're trying to do chain, and I'm pretty sure, you know, from where this guy comes, chain is everything. Now, we're not in Britain. Now, that doesn't mean you can't learn some good chain wrestling. So, the point is, much rather see one of those former compadres of mine learn, actually not learn, but actually be involved. Is this person not involving himself in this discussion, but I know you know who I'm referring to. Not any one of you that sits there and listens in on this podcast, but for those of you who caught on to this at wrestling practice or lack thereof, because, you know, the whole situation, looking at it, is not that great. Just all around. So, Future of Honor is supposed to be the stepping stone to where you go prepare yourself for Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is probably not going to book Jay Savage again. I may be wrong. But here's the thing. When you play favorites with guys who don't look the part to be a wrestler, but you got to have some skill behind it. One of those exclamation points I can use as an example is, guys like Rob Van Dam, he looks the part. Guys like Shawn Michaels, who did not look the part, but he was 6'1", and he had very good rivalries and was fortunate to face off with guys like Yokozuna, Diesel, Razor Ramon. The point is, when a little guy, itty-bitty, faces a bigger guy, it begs the question, how is this guy going to work with you? Do you mesh? Is your chemistry there in the ring? If you don't have that, you're plumb out of luck. And Jay Savage was plumb out of luck when he went up against a guy who probably had more skill than him, probably trains better than him, and is not a retard when it comes to intake and outtake when it comes to protein. So, here's the thing. Whenever you watch a wrestling match that is completely god-awful, some of you might sit there and say, well, you know, that includes John Cena. Oh, that includes Roman Reigns. Well, you know, you can't pick or choose what your match quality is going to be. That all depends on you, the individual. You have to look outside yourself, and you've got to pick yourself up and say whether or not this is a career or a hobby. See how I did that? One point I'm going to bring up is, you know, a friend of mine always brings up to me, stay humble, take your opportunities when they present themselves to you. Like, go to seminars. Go to seminars. Make sure that you make your presence felt in front of a promoter. I think JT Davidson brought that up multiple times. You know, some guys believe that what I do for a living is easy. I'm not going to tell you what I do for a living, but I do know that when I manage, I always make sure that the crowd will react, because if they don't, well, then you're
you're screwed. So, I mean, what good will it do you? If, you know, you watch this match and you say, well, B-Train was wrong, you can have your own opinions. I'm just telling you guys, I have seen this person wrestle. May not be the greatest, but he wrestles. And trust me, he shouldn't be wrestling because it's just not going to fly, okay? What I mean is just not going to fly. Booker already booked him. There's nothing you can do about it. Passive aggressive by doing this on a podcast? I don't think so. So people challenging my nature on this show, I find you amusing because I know that you're from KCXW and you can go shove it. I'm not holding back on this show because I always held back when I was with you guys because we couldn't say certain things. Or it'd just be a freestyle promo. And this is where Jay Savage came from because he is still an active wrestler, so he must be somewhat better, correct? I don't think so. No one is better than anybody in this business except for the people who have skills. So, question. If people really want to ideally argue with one another, that's on them. It's not on me, okay? You want to debate politics? That's on you, too. If you want to go out to a nice restaurant, that's on you. But when you do this as a fucking hobby like Jay Savage does and just says, hey, I'm a pro wrestler, look at me, it's not fair to the rest of the world who actually pertains to pro wrestling. It's not whining, it's not bitching, it's not complaining. It is basically stating facts that whenever you have a positive outlook, it's not always going to pan out. Because in the world of wrestling, you see guys like Jay Savage, you see guys like Hamlin. Hamlin obviously got the better end of the stick, because why? He's basic. I don't think so. He's very unique, kind of, you know, reminding me of a young Darby Allin. I haven't seen, and I mentioned that wrestler a lot. Do you know why? Because the man has a look to him. He's unique. He's willing to take risk. And he's not afraid. So being not afraid, you know, I saw some tentativeness being displayed by Jay Savage in this match. Such as when you get out the corner, you stop for a move. That's fine and dandy. But at the same token, what good will it do you if you stop before a bump or before a spot? I'm telling you right now, if you stop in the middle of a wrestling match for Vince or Triple H, whoever's in charge, or if you stop in the middle of a match for one move with Sammy, they're going to ask you the question, where did you train? And that's one of the proponents for, you know, tonight's discussion, which is, I don't think when you say that I trained here, they're going to know who the hell that is. And obviously during this mess, the lack of training or, you know, I don't know if you would call it training. Because, quite frankly, seeing what I have seen from that school is not what I or anyone in this business would consider training. It's like a friend says, you get what you pay for. If you're only paying $65 or $75, whatever the hell the amount is now, you are not doing yourself a service. But going into places like Future of Honor, even I would dare say Evolve, if you're getting your foot in the door, my hat's off to you, man. But no, it's not called hating. It's called being a realist. And also, when I dish out criticism, most of you say, "Oh, well, that's benefit of, you know, him being a hater because he doesn't have what I have." Newsflash, Einstein. Whenever you wrestle a match that's widely known, please do the world a favor and don't wrestle ever again. Or just, I shouldn't say that. Just stick to those idiots that stick to what you know. That's all I'm going to tell you. And that's family and friends for that crappy place. So, all right, I'm just going to say it right now. Not everyone can be perfect. I know this because I'm reading some of your questions. Who is this Jay Savage? Who is this Jay Savage? No, actually, two of you. I think I know who you are. I'm not going into detail with who someone is, but I am going into detail with just why. This match makes you say the words, why, what did I ever do to deserve this? He uses interrogation torture, literally. When you're watching a Future of Honor match, guys like Sonny Kiss and Mike Orlando. Mike Orlando is soon to be in developmental in NXT somewhere. Okay. Cody Vance, who unfortunately hurt his knee. He's going to get better. Guys like that deserve the spot over Savage. Why? Why do people deserve certain positions that they're in? Because they work their ass off. They train hard. And they actually look like workers. Ring of Honor? Sure, some of those guys look skinny as hell and they got muscles. But, here's a fun fact. You're always going to have matches that make you cringe. And the discussion was, do you do this thing as a hobby or as an actual career? The answer to that question that I'm telling you right now, you need something to fall back on, but if you're doing wrestling as a career because it's what you want to do instead of working behind the desk or work as a ticket booth agent, let me just tell you something right now. For those of you who don't want it as a career, get out. Just do your hobby. I guess I got to respect the process, but guys, you also treat it as if their shit doesn't stink and they can act like an asshole to other fans or workers. And also, here's a reality check for you guys. When you can't move anymore, or you end up in a wheelchair, or you end up injured and you can't wrestle anymore due to your injury, yes, you have a fallback career because this is just a hobby to you. Bugs the ever-living fuck out of me because people tell me all the time, this is how you should feel, B-Train. This is how you should feel on this situation, and this is how you should feel on that situation. I'm going to answer right now. And not just this business. This is a warning to everyone. Do not send me messages on Instagram threatening me. Do not send me stuff that says, yo, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, yo, you've never gotten off the couch and put the Doritos down, or the Pepsi for that matter, or the Coca-Cola or the Sprite or whatever you drink. So, Odorio, don't tell me how I should view a situation. I look at things from two perspectives. I'm sure Savage thinks I'm a jackass because I'm literally tearing him to ribbons. But no, you know, do I care? No, because I'm literally wondering how in the hell does this match not get a laugh? And not in a good way, because it's always going to tell you does the match look good? Does the match look bad? I just got through 44 minutes of blasting this person like a rocket, you know, launch from NASA. So, gotta tell you, if I was in that match, okay, I'll just go with what I know. I'm a manager, so that's pretty fucking funny, dumbass. You just outed yourself. My talking down to you, I have one button for you. Block. I'm not being mean. No, this is the real me, folks. You guys are the reasons why people should do this as a career. Fans are what make the wrestler. No, the wrestler is what made him or herself the wrestler. Whenever you have this as a career, it'd be great, because you know something? I'm fighting for something that I actually believe in, that I actually want to do, and I'm passionate about. There's people that are passionate about music, and there's people that are passionate about whatever. But when you look at guys like Jay Savage, it just seems like, hey, I did this as a, you know, as a side hobby. It's not a passion. You want to be like John Cena? I'm pretty sure that that's not something most people would admit to. That's an admirable quality. You know, imitation is the best form of flattery, but when you're imitating him so hardcore, dude, like the mannerisms, the moveset, you're not at that level. How am I going to tell you this? Because you exonerated the attitude of, I won't do this for this guy, but I will do this if it were Brock Lesnar. And I'm talking about German Suplex. The conversation between Savage and myself a year ago carries into tonight. Do you know why? You guys are teaching people at that shitty-ass school that you claim you're training them professional wrestling. You're training them in professional wrestling. Oh, really? So what certifies you? Because you've had an awesome mentor, that he's not just a mentor to you guys, but he's a mentor to the entire universe. Uncle Bob, I'm sorry to bring you into this, but you think just because you have celebrities coming that that makes you a credible school? No, it really fucking doesn't. Because if you go out there and you train and you really put your heart and soul into this, professional wrestling is something that I absolutely love. Because why? It gets me away from my troubles. It gets my mind off of all the bullshit that I deal with. I'm not going to go into detail on personal disclosure for personal disclosure reasons through Wrestle Radio Inc. and also Off the Rails Uncensored Incorporated. So here's the deal, folks. When you have a passion, use it to your advantage. I'm passionate about, whether it's you're passionate about house repair, whether you're passionate about, you know, certain, yeah, whether you're passionate about computers or web design or what have you, just fucking do it. Don't take a back seat, because I always say this, and I say this nicely. That seems to be my new phrase. Don't ever jump into that ring. Don't ever jump into that ring without thinking first. Because if you are unsafe and you don't know what the hell you're doing, I wouldn't want to work you either. Okay? So, please, by all means, next week, tune in to Wrestle Radio Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. We have an awesome set of guests for you. So, catch you on the flip side, bitches. This is Brian Rails signing off. I got to go eat, folks. I'm hungry as hell. And no, Snickers will not change my personality. The cost of personality. Enjoy the show. I hope you did. How's it going?